Walk with him. Let's take part of the mystery that God wants us to play the role and be the individual that God has called us to be. When you think of mysteries, many things may come to your mind. It was interesting to hear the books that Katira was mentioning, the Boxcar Children, the Bobbsey Twins, and all these other kind of fun things. I think of Perry Mason. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? The Perry Mason. And man, I enjoy those mysteries, and I never can figure them out. But all sorts of mysteries in life. Ashton, I forgot to show it during the kids' time. I've got a mystery. If you could show our picture. We've got a mystery on the screen here in just a second, if you can figure that out. How many of you know what that mystery is? Ken? Okay, Stonehenge. Where is Stonehenge? Okay, it's in England. There we go. South of... Ask the school teacher. You've been there. Excellent. That would be pretty cool to be there and see all of that. Now, from what I understand, is there aren't all those big rocks near there. In fact, they were hauled, I believe, some 200 miles. Right, not that kind of rock near there. That they were hauled nearly 200 miles there. How?
I don't know.
For what? We don't know. There's a lot of theories and a lot of things that go into that, but that people just aren't aware. It's still a mystery. There are so many mysteries. We think of the mystery of Easter Island, right? And we think of all those statues that are kind of above the ground and below. I mean, whoa, what's all going on? So many mysteries. But tonight I want us to talk about the greatest mystery, and that you and I can take part in that mystery. And it's only possible through Jesus Christ. But before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and this opportunity that we have to gather around you and your Word. Lord, I do pray that you would make a difference tonight in our lives, that you would work through your Word, and that this week we would play the role and take part in that mystery. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been going through Colossians chapter 1, and tonight we get to finish the chapter. I'm excited about that. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, follow along as we read through the rest of the chapter. Wherefore, I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning how many men? Think about all the cars that drive down 106 today. There's another one. Warning every man. That's not just with putting a sign out on the road. One cross plus four nails equals, or three nails equals four given. And I mean, those are great things, and they need to see that and hear that. But what are you and I going to do in sharing the gospel? The role that God wants us to play. Here Paul says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. Does everyone in Stockbridge and Munith and Gregory know that Jesus died for their sins? Say that one more time.
No.
I don't think so either. So who has the responsibility to do that? We do. We must be faithful with our responsibility. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. Striving according to whose working? God. I mean, this is just a deep passage. So much truth we can grasp. Which worketh in me mightily. Whose power works in me mightily? God's, as I yield to him. So tonight we're talking about three different role players, if you will, in this mystery. We have the minister's role. The minister's role. Now, sometimes in America, in the 21st century, we say the minister is the who? Pastor. Sometimes that's what America thinks about the minister. The minister is a pastor. Well, technically, the word minister simply means someone who what? Ministers. The servant who shares, who helps bear that burden. Think of a butler. Man, how many of you love a butler, right? Man, the housemaid. The minister. The reality of that. Paul says in the first verse of this passage, 25, wherefore I am made a minister. Why? Because of Christ and all that he did, as we talked in the previous passage. Paul is willing to suffer in all of his sufferings. Why? Because it's about him. Jesus Christ. The minister's role. Who gave this role? Paul didn't just accept this on his own. If you remember back to Paul's salvation testimony, who gave Paul the role of a minister? Jesus Christ did. Who gave you the role of a minister? Jesus did. You and I have the responsibility to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. One who presents that to every man around us. Those who we rub shoulders with every day. But I want to tell you that I don't come into contact with half the people in Stockbridge every day. Or even every week. Or even over this last year. Unless we purposefully make opportunities to share with every man, we don't make them. One of the excuses that we shared tonight with reasons we don't share the gospel was church programs. Sometimes the calendar in the church gets so full that we're going to invite them out to this, and we're putting it on our sign, and man, we made these postcards and we put them at the gas station. And we do. Well, wait a second. We can't let these programs become excuses for sharing the gospel. In fact, it may come that we should put some programs in our calendar to go out of our way to share the gospel. Paul says, I am a minister, and this ministry was given by God. He says, wherefore, I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. It was given by God. He uses a big word here, dispensation. Dispensation literally means administration or economy. We think about administrators. Now, don't answer this out loud. Some of you don't like your administrators at work, right? You struggle with how it's administered. Or we think of the economy. Our economy in the United States of America doesn't work off of vegetables and fish. Now, if you go to certain African countries, the economy runs off of what? Vegetables and fish. But here in America, our economy runs with what? Moolah. I heard moolah back there, right? And sometimes we wonder, what is money? Because I don't ever even see it. It's all digital. But the reality is, our economy runs off of money. Now, here Paul is saying, the economy of God, I am a minister of the dispensation of God, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. The administration of God. So who is the administer or the administrator of this mystery? God is. This has been given by God. To who? You and me, as individuals. So does that mean we get to say, no, I don't want to play that role. I want to do something else. No. Now, we look at the angels. Throughout the New Testament, the angels were simply messengers of God. And we see multiple messages that they gave. The big ones that we think of is, Jesus is coming, Mary. You're going to be pregnant. Jesus is coming, Joseph. Then we see where they brought a message to the shepherds. He has come. But who has been given the job, the role of sharing the gospel with every man? The ministers of whom we are. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The minister's role is given by God, but it's given for others. The reality is, my role as a minister is not about me. There are some people who see the responsibility of soul winning, sharing the gospel with others, as just how many notches can I get in my belt? How many can I mark in the front of my Bible that I got to personally lead to the Lord? Now that's exciting, and I think we should get excited when we get the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. Don't answer this out loud, but have you had the opportunity in the last 5 years to lead someone to the Lord? Have you ever led someone to the Lord? God has made us ministers of His gospel for others. For all those people who keep driving down 106. For every man who's in my neighborhood. There's a reason God gave you the house you have. You're in the neighborhood you have for a reason. Do other people in your neighborhood know about Him? The mystery of Christ. That they can have that personal relationship with Jesus. The minister's role. It was given by God, but it was given for others. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So it was not just given by God and given for others, but it was given to fulfill the word of God. We think about the prophecy of Christ. The very first one that we can look at is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God tells, going through the curse and the consequences of sin, that His seed would come, the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head. We think of the whole reality of Jesus Christ coming to really destroy Satan and sin. There are consequences for sin. And so the reality of Christ being promised all of these years and foretold throughout the Old Testament. You and I are ministers to fulfill the Word of God. Because God wants all to come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What role are you and I playing? Are we playing the role God has given us? The minister's role. Then we see God's responsibility. See, the exciting thing is you and I share the gospel. It's not left up to us. Now remember, what was going on at the church at Corinth? Remember, what were they fighting over? Okay, so who's greater? Okay, it's the Apostle Paul. No, it's Apollos. Man, I'm of Apollos. Oh, no, it's Peter. But I'm a Christ. They're fighting over which leader are we going to follow? Who's the greatest one? Well, ultimately, Paul says it's all about Christ. But let's stop our what? Divisions. Remember our excuse? Let's stop our divisions and share the gospel. Let's stop our divisions. The people in Corinth are on their way to hell, and every man needs to know. He's telling this church at Colossae, every man. Who am I going to share it with this week? The exciting thing, though, is that I share. God has a responsibility. God promises that His word will not return void. There are people who will reject God and His word. Maybe you've had an opportunity to hand someone a tract, and you've watched different responses. One response that stuck out to me, I was a teenager and handed a Walmart associate a tract. Had nothing to do with Walmart. But I handed that associate a tract. And that associate, as I walked away, here I'm just a teenager. 16, 17, you know, you're still in that cool stage, right? And and here I am in this, I don't even remember who it was, but they were in their 20s maybe. And as I'm walking away, they laughed and threw it in the trash can. Now, I don't have a responsibility to make them read it. I don't have a responsibility to make them listen. Different times as I've shared the gospel with people or I've attempted to, and I've asked, hey, if you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Many people will answer that with a no, or I hope so. I like to follow that up with a question. Well, would you like me to take time today to show you from God's word how you can know? Some people are like, yeah. Some people are like, I don't have time. Now, we stop and think about it, and we're like, whoa, I mean, you're messing with eternity here. The reality is, I have to share. I've got my role to tell every man. But God has His responsibilities as the word of God is shared. Paul goes on in verse 26 and says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. What is God's role? To make it known. God makes it known. Now, the Apostle Paul has been dead for a long time. So who has taken his spot? Someone else and someone else and someone else. The believers here at Colossae have been dead and gone for a long time. The problems in the church at Colossae, they are no more. But, at least at the church at Colossae, but the reality is you and I have a role to play. But God wants to make it known. He wants to use you and me to make it known. See, this mystery, it was said in verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. The word mystery, it means a secret doctrine. You know, you think about the mysteries as you read or as you watch them. There's some secret that someone tries to keep hidden and figure, and other people try to figure it out. Some people's mind works logically and they can go through and figure them all out. But here we see this is not just a secret doctrine that staying hidden, that God wants it to be hidden. He wants it to be known. And He revealed it through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men. The secret doctrine that was once hidden, but now revealed in the gospel or some facet of it. The Word of God. We think of the mystery of Christ in you. In the Old Testament, who was the Bible, if you will, who does God predominantly deal with in the Old Testament? Which people group? The Jews, one small nation. Now, we have some missionaries that we support, and hopefully we pray for them as they're serving in Israel. And their names are? Okay, the Armsteads. They have a great opportunity with the Jews, specifically. But as we get to the New Testament, this mystery has been revealed. God doesn't just love the Jews. God loves every man, Paul says. This mystery, that which is made known. Not only that God loves everyone, but that we can have a personal relationship with God. I loved Aaron Wilson's testimony this morning. He grew up and he'd heard some truths about God and he knew God was out there. But when he went, after he got saved, he went home and he shared with his mom, "Mom, did you know you can really know God?" Whoa! Does your neighborhood know that you can really know God? The mystery that Christ wants to have a relationship with you personally. How many of you say, "Man, I'm thankful for that in my life"? Now, there's some of you who say, "It's only been within the last 5 years I got saved." Praise God! Now, for some of you, you say, "Well, I've been saved 70-some years, Nancy," right? I mean, we look at, well, there's a big spectrum there. Well, we know the mystery. They need to. Paul says, for every man, God wants to make it known through you and me. Again, it's giving us that role of minister. To make it manifest, the end of verse 26, but now is made manifest to his saints. This word manifest, to render apparent or make visible, to make it seen. When I hear the word render, I think of videos. And the reason for that is when you take some video, whether it's on your phone or a video camera or a regular camera, and you put it on your computer, and if you want to cut that up and cut some things out or you want to put some words over the top of it, before you're able to put it out, you have to hit this little button and it renders it. It makes it all visible as one. And here we see that God has made it manifest. He's rendered it so that you and I can see the reality of it. And that's Christ. Now, for most of us in this room, we look and we say, "I know I'm saved." But do they know they can be saved too? God wants us to make it known. His responsibility is to make His mystery known. And He uses people. He uses ministers that He calls here, even as He talks about, Paul talks about his responsibility, his role as a minister. God's responsibility is to make it known, but it's also to make it possible. The only way possible for this mystery, for Christ in you, the hope of glory, as the end of verse 27 talks about, is for all that Jesus Christ has done, His death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you," Paul says, "that which I also received." He received it and then he shared it. That's the mystery. But Christ made it all possible. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's all about Him. God has made it possible. Praise God. Here, we're thankful for that truth. But I want us to see that God wants us to take our part in this mystery. We can praise God. I mean, this is a mystery that we can praise God for. Because my life has changed. I've been changed. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have a home beyond the river. Songs we've sung tonight. The reality Praise God for that. Because I have a role. God has a responsibility. But the individual has riches. Us in Christ, and they can have them too. You know, it's interesting as you look at bookstores, and bookstores have changed. Some of you have seen that more than I even have seen that. But the reality of the change in bookstores. When I think of buying a book, I don't think of going to what is called a brick and mortar store. I think of Amazon or eBay or some other online, used online bookstore. Let me tell you, I've got my list. But the reality is I think of all these online stores. But as you go to these bookstores and you look at all these books that have been written, get rich quick. So many ways you get this, or this is how you get richer. Oh, this is what you need to focus on. So many self-help books to make us successful in life. Well, the idea that Christ wants us to know is we can be rich in Him. Not just in the world's economy. Remember this, Paul talked about that up above in verse 25. He said, whereof I am made a minister according to the what? Dispensation or economy of God. We're talking God's economy now. I'm a minister. I've got a role. God has responsibilities. But as an individual in God's economy, I am rich. Because of the truth. I believe the truth. Paul says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Remember the Old Testament, we said, predominantly focuses on the Jews. Now, could Gentiles come to God in the Old Testament? They sure could. And we could go through a study and show all the ways even that God used the Jews. Now, there were some limitations yet, but they could come to God. And the Jews were to be a light to the world. But in the New Testament, we see so much about the Gentiles. A Gentile is someone who is not a Jew. I fit into that category. Anybody else a Gentile in here tonight? I think probably most of us are Gentiles. I had a friend in college. He had a little part of Jewish blood in him. But beyond that, man, most of us. Now, yes, we all trace our roots back. But most of us are Gentiles. This riches is for me too. This is exciting. I believe the truth. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present how many men? Every man. This word man is not just talking about the masculine, the male gender, but humankind. He says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Is it my responsibility to present them perfect in Christ Jesus? Paul is saying, I need to share it. God has that responsibility of making it possible. But while the riches of being found in Him. Believe the truth. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's how you can have the riches of Christ. Believe the truth. By the way, for those of us who are saved, that's how they can have the truth. But they've got to hear it. It's not just enough to go and kind of share it. Hey, come to church sometime with me, would you? How many of you think we should invite people out to church? I think we should too. There's a responsibility that we have to invite people to church. But I don't want it just to be inviting people out to church. And it may start with that with someone. Maybe it's, hey, would you come out to church? And maybe that's the opportunity that the Lord gives you. But it's more than just taking the opportunity to invite someone to church, but sharing the gospel. They need to believe the truth. And then they need to be made perfect in Him. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Be made perfect. It's by Him. It's a work that God alone does. God is faithful. We think of the back to the first part of this chapter, verse 4. Let's start in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Believe the truth. Be made perfect, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Be made perfect. They can be made perfect. Our neighbors can be made perfect. Not according to my standard. You know, I'm not here in Stockbridge area to make people like Josh Swearinga. Man, I want to make people as much as I can. I want to present them the truth so that they can be made perfect in Christ. And Christ changes perspective on life. Brother Aaron and I were talking about that today. It was interesting. It was about the same time that God was leading them away from their ministry over in Bridgeport that He led us away from our ministry in Muskegon. And I went through some thoughts of, okay, so why did God bring him solidly to another ministry where he got to serve, and God brought us to a ministry where He closed the door for us? Well, God's got a great plan. And it was interesting this afternoon, we were talking about perspective and how God changes our perspective and makes it what it needs to be. Brother Aaron is camp director. He gets to minister to a lot of teens and adults. But as they think of summer camp, they minister to a lot of youth sponsors. Many of them as staff members of a church, number of them who aren't. He said, and this is coming from a pastor, an assistant pastor's role, has changed my perspective. The reality here is Christ changes our perspective of life when we see the mystery of Christ. When I see my role, when I see what God has done, His responsibility of making it known and making me perfect in Him. When I see the riches that Christ has given me. And Paul closes up this chapter, this section, with verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. All of this, the minister's role, God's responsibility, the individual's riches, God wants me to be part of the plan. Paul, he needed to receive that. He needed to believe the truth, and he did on the road to Damascus. There was some great time Paul spent aside learning, even in the desert place, before he went, what we would say, full-time into the ministry. But really, there were a number of cities he was a tent maker. He was not occupationally a pastor or a missionary. But the reality of what he was doing, he said, I want to be part of the plan. And part of the riches that I have in Christ is that I get to be part of God's plan. And I get to see God use me to share the gospel with others and someone else get saved. So where is it that you'll go this week? Will you see that as your part of the plan to play? To share the gospel with someone else this week? We were challenged and we asked, will you share with two people this week the gospel? Strive to, work towards it. Paul says here, I strive. I labor, striving according to His working. Would you make it a diligent effort to share the gospel with two people this week? Now, there are times that we want to share the gospel and we try even with a conversation and turning that towards Christ, and it just doesn't work out where we get to share the gospel. Paul asked for prayer in another passage. Pray for me that the door would be opened. The door is not always open for us to share, but strive to present unto those around us the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one of the easiest ways we can do that is, do you know what Christ did for my life? Now, people might think you're crazy. Because remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth? The foolishness of preaching. People might think you're crazy, but someone might get saved. And we don't have to be obnoxious about it. In fact, we shouldn't be. I think Jesus is very plain on that. But I do need to be faithful and do my part. And as we think about it as a church family, if I'm going to redeem the time, I need to be faithful in my role as a minister. So what will you do this week? Will you be faithful with your role? Or will you just go on because life happens? I'm telling you, that's the easiest way to live. I know it. Personally. Whoa, where did that week go? Whoa, where did that year go? Whoa, where did the first quarter of this year go? I mean, time flies. But let's redeem the time and play the part of the minister that God has called each of us to be. and share the gospel this week so that others can have the same riches that we have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, I do pray that you would help us today to let you work in and through our lives. God, I pray that this week we would be faithful with that, sharing the gospel, striving according to your mighty working that you have worked in our lives. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I just need to get saved. Some of you say, well, man, you ask that all the time, Pastor. Well, the reality is one of you in here might not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Would you turn to Him? But for the vast majority of each of us in this room, we know Christ as Savior. So, what about you this week? Maybe God has challenged you through this message that you would play the minister's role that God wants you to play. Would you do that? As Joanne's playing, I just want to give you an opportunity just to sit right there. Say, God, I've got only one life. God, I've got only one Monday, April 9, 2018. Would you help me to be faithful with that? To share your truth. To take part in sharing the mystery of Christ this week. God, would you give me opportunity with at least two people? Would you help me to be faithful in the role of a minister? Thou who hast freely given thine all in all for me, claim this life to for thine own, to be used, my Savior, every moment for thee. This week, would you let God use you and me, sharing His mystery with the world?